Well, I really love Joe because fortunately his teaching in the Bible is less confused than his remembering how many years we've been friends. But I will say that there have been times when we've been in discussion and disagreement that I felt like it's been 150 years. Anyway, I'm so glad to be here, and the people in Sacramento are looking forward to Joe coming back and sharing with us as he does, as often as I can get him to do so. He's kind of a homebody. He's hard to pry out of here, you know, and basic theme is, why should I go somewhere else when I have the best thing here? Anyway, God does lead him, though, and he comes on occasion. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 this morning. When you come into a service, usually one of the first things you do in our circles is to sing to the Lord. And there'll be songs that, for the most part, they should always be based in Scripture. Some of the songs are literally Scripture put to music, which is proper. Singing has such a vital role in the life of a Christian. And Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalm and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your kindness and for your mercy to us, for the gift of your Son Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the access that you've given us right into your presence. And thank you for the Word of God and for its living power in our lives, and for the songs that remind us of your promises, of your reality, of your truth, of all of the gifts that you have available for us. I pray, Lord, that our hearts shall lift up with singing in all circumstances to give you honor and glory and praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you read these words of Colossians 3:16, it talks about the richness of wisdom, and we can all certainly use a heavy dose of wisdom as we try to navigate our way through a world that is increasingly challenging and increasingly difficult as our faith is under siege. But the Scripture goes on to say that singing can also be a way of admonishing one another. If you're discouraged and you sing a song of faith and encouragement, it's an admonishment, remembering that God is on the throne, that God is faithful, that He's going to see you through. And then, of course, the Psalms. Many of the Psalms were put to music, and songs and hymns that we sing. Some of the great hymns of the faith are messages and sermons in themselves. One of the songs that is one of the best known songs in the world is Amazing Grace. And as you sing that song, the entire message of grace and redemption and salvation is expressed. And when you can sing that song, it brings us all to a consciousness of the faithfulness of God and the salvation that's ours. And then spiritual songs, singing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and letting the joy and the power of God pour through our lives, and then singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Singing is not something that we just do to pass the time until everybody can get here so we can take the offering. However, if it's real slow, I will sing an extra song. No, I won't do that. That's not what singing is for. It's not a showcase for our talents, because any talent that we have, might have, comes from God anyway. But singing is one of the few earthly exercises that are going to continue in heaven. Most of what you do now, well, you won't do in heaven. You won't be out earning your bread by the sweat of your brow. You won't be going around witnessing to people about their need of salvation. I mean, you might go out and do some street witnessing there on the streets of gold, but either you'd be deluded and think you have 100% success, or you'd finally realize everybody's there is already saved, so you'd probably quit witnessing to people. Oh, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, what do you think I'm doing here? You know, that's the way it would be. There won't be any sick people to pray for. There'll be no people in grief, suffering the loss through death. There won't be any missionaries in perilous places to pray for. You won't have any enemies to pray for. Much of what you do on this earth, you won't do in heaven, but when you get to heaven, one of the things you will do is sing like you've never sung before and sing again and again and again. And I'm looking forward, frankly, to being someday with the big choir up there. I'm talking about, can you imagine what it's going to sound like when billions of people stand around the throne and begin to worship God and praise God and sing? It's so cool, because with that many people, no matter how bad your voice is, you're going to sound good. And that's really wonderful. I have a theory that everybody will sing well in heaven, because it's going to be a perfect place. When you go through the Bible, you see such a prominence in song. Moses was leading the children of Israel, and it seemed as though that even though he'd been following the cloud and the fire that God had set before him, that God had made a mistake. Because they were in a valley with the great walls on each side, and there was a sea in front of them, and behind them the Egyptian armies were coming to bring them back into slavery and captivity. And the people were distressed and discouraged. And then God, in His mercy, performed a miracle, a literal miracle that had actually happened. The waters parted, the ground dried up, an entire nation marched across dry land to deliverance. And when the enemy tried to follow them, the waters returned, and the adversary was completely destroyed. Moses began to sing about this. You can read his song in the Song of Moses and Miriam, Exodus 15. When God opened the Red Sea and destroyed the enemies. You see, there's something to sing about, because no matter how great the enemy is, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, nothing can stop God from accomplishing His will in your life as you walk with Him. And any obstacle that you face, God can and will remove it. As we walk and sing and live in faith, Deborah lifted up her voice and sang. And she sang with another, and she sang of the promises of God's deliverance. In Judges 5, you'll find the song of Deborah, where they'd been delivered from the Canaanites under Barak. And Sisera, the oppressor, was dead. And Jabin the king was vanquished, and all of the enemies of God had been separated and destroyed. And they began to sing a song of praise and a song of victory. And then again, there's another song of Moses in Deuteronomy 31 and 32, a song of praise for the faithfulness of God. That God is always there, that God always sustains, and that God is a solid rock that you can build your life on. You can put your faith and build your life on God, and you will never be shaken as long as you trust in Him. Scripture said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Trust in the Lord God Jehovah, for in the Lord God Jehovah is everlasting strength. And so these marvelous songs that we find in the Old Testament, the songs of David, the songs of Asaph, the emphasis of the fact that God is a rock and God is someone that you can count on in all of the circumstances and the vicissitudes of life. I thank you for, I know that from occasionally over the last few months that many of you have been praying for me. As Joe has shared some of the things that I was faced with. I've always been blessed all through my life with so much energy that I've been a source of irritation to multitudes of people. And I never have slept very much. Actually, I came on a new system when I came out here to this way. I'll share it with you in case you go from the west to the east. It's 3 hours time difference, and your first service here is at 5 a.m. in Sacramento. And Joe Dudd did that deliberately. But anyway, so I figured out how to beat it. On Friday night, I didn't go to bed. I just stayed up till and slept 2 hours. And then so last night I had a great sleep, so I'm fresh and I'm ready. I could preach for 3 or 4 hours like Don McClure, you know. I won't, I promise you. But if Don's on Wednesday night, I love Don's teaching, but pack a lunch is all I can tell you. But a year ago, this last November, about 18 months ago, I was feeling kind of draggy, you know, just didn't have my normal zip. I was getting everything done, but... So I went in for just a normal thing, and anyway, I found out that I had a form of leukemia, and I couldn't even pronounce it. Of course, when I called out here and told Joe, I said, "Joe, I have chronic molluggiosin," and of course, he immediately corrected me. He said, "If you're going to have the disease, at least know how to pronounce it." And so it's a chronic myelogenous leukemia, and he's amazing. If there's any disaster or sickness or suffering, he knows the name for it. And so, you know, he didn't say that he would pray for me, that he could help me, but he said, "I'll help you pronounce it." And so I really appreciated that. So at any rate, I'm sitting there with the doctor, and we're discussing this. And it's not, you don't just get up every day and think, "I'm going to go in and find out I have leukemia." You know, it's just a kind of a different sort of day. And Mary and Julissa were in Europe, and it was on a mission. And so I went in. That's my wife and daughter, not my girlfriends. I'm from California, and people get the wrong idea about us sometimes. But the doctor sat down. He began to discuss with me my longevity. And, you know, we all know we're going to go to heaven. We just don't like anybody giving us a day, you know. And we all say, "Lord, take me, I'm yours." But we hope he doesn't do it a piece at a time. And so that's kind of the way we were. I'm sitting there and I'm hearing him, and he's saying, "You have this disease." And he said, "There are, you know, a number of types of leukemia, and many of you have been through this. And there are different forms." And he said, "You have a type that is manageable for X number of years." And so I studied it out and found out that I have the second best leukemia that you could have. And so we're just saying, "Okay, Lord, what do you have for us?" And I can tell you, and you know, you say, "Well, preachers always say this stuff," but I mean it. It's been one of the great blessings of my life. When you go to visit people who are sick, as we do as pastors throughout the course of our ministries, you pray for them, you identify them, but when you're one of them, it's there's another level of understanding that you didn't have before. And when I go in for the checkups on the blood count, and they run it through that little machine, and then it tells you how things are going, I wait in the waiting room, because that's a part of modern medicine. Part of modern medicine is you wait. I don't care what time your appointment is, you wait. And they don't care if you leave, because if you leave, you die. So they're going to just keep you there. Or you're still sick or whatever. Yeah, they've got you. You know, sometimes I feel like getting even and just dying right there. But that probably wouldn't be the best thing to do. So anyway, this went on, and I asked the doctor a lot of questions. And when Mary came home, she asked him a great many questions. I don't use computers. She went on the internet, and she found out more horrible things about it than I wanted to know. And so we go in, and I said, "You know, we had a time of what we call embraced concerts. We decided just to come on a Sunday night and just sing and worship and as the Holy Spirit, the seed was planted in my heart when I was here with you a few years ago and on your communion service. And so we just wanted to sing, and as the Lord moved, you know, give prophetic utterance or guidance in Scripture. And in the middle of that service, I experienced a faith. It wasn't like a bolt of lightning or a shiver, but just suddenly a faith that I was, you know, that God was doing something in my body. And I was so convinced of it that the next appointment, I went to the doctor. I said, now, isn't there a test where you can go in? And I should have asked Joe for the right words, but I didn't have it. But there is some test. If you want to know, ask him after church. There's some test where they go in and they take some blood and some marrow and they send it off to San Diego for this special thing. And the doctor said, well, it's very expensive. And then I thought, well, maybe I don't want it after all. And I said, I found out the insurance covered it. So I said, go ahead and do this thing, because I said, I think he said, well, now you've only been on this medication. Now, there's a couple of medications that have had wonderful results in this type of leukemia. And I said, I just feel like, and I said, I know this is, you hear this a lot, but I feel like God has done something special for me. I said, we were praying and worshiping Jesus, and of course, he's a Hindu. wonderful man. You know, when you're sick or something, you're really glad for all the smart people to help us of average to below average intellect. I'm grateful for people that study and work that hard. But I said, he said, it's too early. Maybe in a year we could get some results. And I said, well, what's the count on the chromosomes now? He said, well now, he said, I believe they're 100% cancerous. And I said, thank you for that encouraging word. I appreciate that. But I said, please do it anyway. So anyway, he acquiesced and he sent it off. And so I'm waiting and waiting and to get the word. And he forgets to call me, of course. And so I call him and then I get his nurse. Then I got his answering service. And then I said, if it's a life and death emergency, call 911. How do you know if it's a life and death emergency until you die? You just don't know. So anyway, finally got a hold of him. And went to the thing, and he looked at me and he said something to the effect, this is the most, something most unusual has happened. We've had it tested twice. And I said, yeah, you know, it's like, he looked serious. You know, you try to read your condition by the expression on her face, you know. And I said, what's the deal? Being a great man of faith, I was about petrified. But I knew God had done something. And he said, I don't have any explanation for it. And if you quit taking the medicine, I know it'll come back. But he said, your chromosomes are now 0.00016 cancerous. I said, what does that mean? He said, it wouldn't even show up on a normal blood test. I said, well, why don't you just give me normal blood tests from now on? Just give me normal blood tests. You see, the faithfulness of God, and through this whole process, and having the privilege of sitting with people who are suffering from various stages of cancer, beginning in advance of all ages, as we sit in the waiting room, and having the opportunity to share the hope, whether we're healed in this life, or whether we have the ultimate healing, which is to go into the presence of God, to have that peace, and songs begin to well up in my spirit. And it was while we were singing at this Embrace concert that God visited my body. Now, why God healed me, I cannot tell you. There are some people that say they have the gift of healing. They are not informed. They don't have the gift of healing. The gift of healing is received by people. It might flow through you, and it happens according to the will of God. I don't have a formula. If I did, you know, I could have a lot of hair, hot, tall hair, and, you know, good stuff, and a television program, and God's man of power for the hour, and I could get all, you know, slicked up and wear a shiny suit, you know, and fancy neck. Nah, I don't want to wear neckties. But anyway, that's not what God has for me. You see, singing comes from our relation in a Christian comes from our relationship with God. You listen to rap music; it comes out of the heart. the violence, the diminishing of the humanizing of women, violence against law and order, it comes out of the heart. And it, the different music comes out of your life experience. What's in your heart can be expressed through music. Christians have a different song. And, you know, when we talk about terrible voices, you know, it doesn't mean if you have a terrible voice, you can't be rich and famous in rock music. It might help. Look at Bob Dylan, you know, you've never heard a worse voice in your life. But he wrote a great album, Slow Train Coming. But, you know, so whatever's in your heart, it comes out when you sing. And sometimes you have sad songs and sometimes happy songs that come out of your heart. But the scripture talks about Jesus on the night he was betrayed. He was just very hours away from the cross. And he was with his disciples. And it said, after they had sung a hymn, they went out. And I know what they sang. They sang the great Hallel from Psalm 116, 117, and 118. And I can't imagine what it must have been like to be in that room and suddenly hear Jesus begin to sing. I don't know what the other disciples did, but I would have wished they all shut up and just let me hear Jesus sing. Wouldn't that be an incredible experience to hear the Lord Himself lift up His voice and sing praises to God and honoring God? Well, someday, when we walk into the presence of God in heaven, if you make it, and the only way you're going to make it is through giving your life over to Christ and confessing and acknowledging your sins, and as we all must, and asking forgiveness and accepting and embracing His gift of life and salvation. When we get into heaven, Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing." When you get to heaven, Jesus is going to be rejoicing over the fact that you've walked through this valley of choice. You made a decision to follow Christ. You were faithful to Him. You let the Holy Spirit work in your life. You died in faith, or you were raptured in faith, and now He is there, and Jesus Himself will begin to sing over you. And that's the coolest song you'll ever hear, I guarantee you. A wonderful song that He will sing. I rejoice and I look forward to the time that I can hear that song. Who can sing? As a Christian, only the really redeemed can sing the songs of faith, the songs of Christ, the songs of glory. The Bible is a book of songs. Even going back as we did to the Old Testament and then on to the New Testament in Revelation 5, 9 and 10. The scripture said, he sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God by your blood, and we shall reign on the earth. There'll be singing in heaven. Singing because Jesus came down. After man, our forebearers had sold our birthright to the earth into the hands of the devil. And He came down and accomplished all that we could not accomplish for ourselves. He became our blood brother. He became the relative who could pay the debt of sin that we couldn't pay. And because of that, He's going to be able to take that scroll and take back the title deed to the earth and restore righteousness and holiness and peace and healing and deliverance and the total defeat of every power of sin and darkness. I look at other scriptures in the Bible, and I think, and I said something that Joe corrected me on between the services, and I thank him for his correction. It says in the Bible that the angels, when they announced the birth of Christ, didn't sing. And so in Luke 2:14, it said, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth toward men." But he said in the Greek, the Hindu, the Hebrew, and the whatever, Chinese, that it doesn't mean that. And so, no, that was another thing. He said that praise means, anyway, he thinks angels sing. I don't. And he's your pastor, so angels sing. That's just the way it is. He really severely attacked me when he preached in Sacramento recently. So, Give and it shall be given unto you. Anyway, maybe that scripture's out of context. I'm not sure. Here. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Singing, admonishing, worshiping God. The word of Christ, when it's at home in our heart, breaks forth in song. And it doesn't matter how you sound. It really doesn't. I was saying earlier, we had a children's Christian Christmas program, and of course, they're unbiblical. We have angels singing. I don't know if they're unbiblical. They might be. But anyway, we have children singing as angels, and we had about, 50, 100 angels up there singing. And we had one little boy that had a great voice, but he only had one note, and he used it to the top of his voice. Hark the herald angels sing glory to the new. And he loved to sing, and so he just sang and sang, and so the music director came and said, what shall I do about this young boy? He loves to sing. I don't want to break his heart, and he loves to have the microphone. I said, give him his own microphone. And he looked at me in horror. And I said, and turn it off. And he just grabbed that microphone and he sang and he had the greatest time. And if you can't sing, well, sing alone and until you get to heaven when God heals your voice. Or sing with a crowd where you'll be covered up. But singing is valuable. My dad loved to sing. He never hit a note in the right place. But he loved to sing. And you'd hear him up there. I can still hear him today with his raspy, loud voice singing praises to God, and somehow it was beautiful to me. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We only have grace in our hearts when we're the children of God. And this is what it talks about here in Ephesians 5, talking about our hymns and singing to the Lord. Singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. It's a gift of God. It's a privilege to sing. We respond in singing to the praise of God, to giving witness, bearing witness, Christians to develop character as we sing during the times of testing and trial. I think of Paul and Silas, and I forgot what time this service is over. Is it already over? Really? Oh, quarter of. All right. Well, I just have to try to dig up some more sermon here. You should have your services on the half hour. God is not the God of confusion. So anyway. I think about Paul and Silas. Now, there were some guys that had some real courage and faith. They went out to praise and worship God and bring people to Christ. And so the Lord permits them to be arrested, beaten, thrown into jail. And we think about jail now. We think about television jails, where they have clean jails and, television and all that kind of stuff. But their jails were filthy. They're full of lice and all sorts of vermin. There were no sanitary facilities in their jails. Their backs were beaten and bloody. They were in stocks, which is so painful, kept in the same position. And there were a lot of other people in jail, some justly, some unjustly. But the scripture said that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I've discovered that during the most challenging and difficult times of my life, that I am uplifted and strengthened when I sing praises to God. And I begin to express the love I have for the Lord and begin to experience the love He has for me. Because, you see, whatever happens in my life, whether it's good news or bad news, whether it's life or death, God is in control and God loves me. And whatever He permits me or lets me walk through, He'll give me the grace to endure it. He'll give me the joy. And so there's always a cause for joy. There's always a cause for rejoicing, whatever the circumstances. You say, wait a minute, I'm going through some of the most painful, difficult times of my life. My husband has left me. My children have forsaken me. I'm faced with a terrible illness. I'm faced with financial need. And there's nothing good in my life. There's one thing that's good in your life. There's God Himself. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And no matter how tough it gets, I've got a promise from God. You're going to make it. If you trust in the Lord, you're going to make it. You may not look like much when you get there, but you're going to make it. I can promise you that. You're going to make it. God will not forsake you. God will not leave you. So lift up your heart and give Him praise in song and worship and adoration. When the prisoners, I wonder what they thought. When they heard these two guys who were in worse shape than they were singing, they had to wonder, either they're mentally impaired or they have some kind of a faith that is not dependent on their circumstances. You know, it doesn't take any faith to be joyful and sing when everything is going well. It doesn't take any faith to smile and have things when things are going well. But when you have God in your heart, things are always going well. No matter how perilous or difficult the circumstances. Because when you go through these things, you never are alone. And God will not permit you to be tested or tempted or tried beyond what you are able to bear. But with every trial and temptation will provide a way of escape and will bring His help and bring His deliverance. Or He will sustain you through the things that in our minds we think are impossible to bear. He will give us peace. And He'll give us a song to sing. Teaching, admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing in the Spirit, having messages, singing through those songs, we're instructed, we're challenged, we're comforted. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, they have to do with the things of the Spirit. The things of God. And as you sing, let the words of the Scripture, let the words of encouragement and testimony and hope fill your heart. And you'll be drawn close to the Lord. And you'll begin to receive guidance and direction for the problems and challenges you'll face. And there'll be great joy in your life. At times have such joy. And you know, when Mary and I were married, and my wife, and I used to think I could sing. When I was a kid, my dad was a pastor, and people would ask me what I wanted to be, and I would always say a nightclub singer and a comedian. And my dad would just sort of look at me like, I wonder if he's adopted or something, you know. But I did it mainly for effect. But no, I kind of wanted to do that. I thought it would be cool to be a nightclub singer. I'd never been to a nightclub. I didn't know why, but it sounded cool. So it comes time for our wedding, and I decide that I should sing a song at our wedding. And I loved it. It was beautiful, and she decided to go ahead with the ceremony in spite of it. But we're going to be the bride of Christ. And we're going to have a song to sing to Him. And it's going to be beautiful. You see, when I have a theory, and it's probably right, but it's just a theory. I think when we get to heaven, we'll be recognized, but what we will look like is if physically as if we nor any human had ever sinned. I don't think we'll have any of the scars of disease or deformity, or I think we'll be just like we should have been, perfect, you know, when we, you know, in our prime at 61 or whatever your prime is. And I think we're going to have beautiful voices. But whether we do or not, in through the eyes and the ears of men, your voice is beautiful to God even now. No matter how froggy or how shrieky you may be, when you sing to God, it's a beautiful song because it comes from His kids. Let's sing to the Lord, shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your presence. Thank you for each precious person. Lord, there's just so many that are facing circumstances that without you would be overwhelming and debilitating. But remind each one of your nearness. For those who are struggling with sin, unable to make that full commitment to you, may this be the morning when they will embrace the love and forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. That a new song will be born in their hearts today. The song of salvation, of glory to the Lamb. For those that are going through trials and sicknesses and want and struggles and conflicts, give them a song of peace, a song of hope, a song of faith, and let it ring in their hearts, not only in these few moments, but, Lord, all through the times of life as they face these challenges. And may that song remind us that whatever our circumstances, that you're there and that you love us and that your power is such that you'll never forsake us. And remind us, Lord, that as long as we hold your hand, we're going to make it. Amen. God bless you.